From Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companions, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. But it's not that easy, is it? Not that easy when we are broken and hurting, sorrowful, confused. What do we do to find the rejoicing in us, the spirit of gentleness inside? What do you do? I just returned from a conference at Montreat. This is a picture from where I was. It's a Presbyterian conference center near Asheville, North Carolina. And the conference was called Radical Beauty, Living in the Tension of Healing and Social Change. The powerful message I got to hear in music and in art and in poetry was incredibly inspiring and soul-filling, and it made me continually rejoice in a deep way for beauty that we can miss in times as filled with tragedy as these last few months have been. As one of the artists said, art can speak when we have no words. It occurs to me that Euodia and Syntyche from our scripture this morning may have needed some radical beauty to speak to their brokenness, their inability to be united in the Lord. Paul is not talking about the kind of unity that comes from no one saying what they want to say in order to avoid difference. We hear calls for this kind of unity in our world all the time. Calls for a unity built on silencing the victims of injustice, because if we hear their pain, we might feel attacked and uncomfortable. No, Paul's call to unity is a call to be in relationship, built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus. Unity that comes from looking deeper than our surface desire for comfort and ease to find the love of God and neighbor that Christ calls us to find and to put first in our lives. Maybe the community that included these women, maybe their friends that are encouraged to help them heal, to come together, maybe they need to bring the unexpected, the art, the poetry, the invitation to sit at a meal. Maybe they needed to be reminded of their invitation to rejoice, to walk in the light of the Lord, to find unity in their identity together in Jesus. During my time away in the beauty of nature, I went on a field trip to Asheville, to a peace garden that was run by a group called Hood Huggers. In case you missed that play on words, which I did the first time I heard it, it's a takeoff on tree huggers. They're inviting people to be hood huggers, to care about the neighborhood outside of Asheville. So the man who gave us the tour was the person who created this garden out of his yard almost 20 years ago. His name was Dwayne Barton. He'd inherited a piece of property on Barton Road, and he moved back from D.C. to live there with his wife, only to find that his neighborhood had been taken over by drug dealers. Crack dealers literally stood on the street, and people came from all over the city to buy their drugs. Now, maybe you are like me and think that when a neighborhood is like that, it's because the people that live there are part of the drug culture. But this neighborhood was actually filled with families who hid in their houses and feared for their lives. So Dwayne, who had been a peace activist back in D.C. working to stop foreign wars, decided that there was a war going on right outside his house. And so he started by physically trying to clean up the neighborhood. He collected garbage. And because he was an artist, he made the garbage into sculpture. He painted posters of inspiring people. He made a stage and an art area so that neighborhood kids would have a place to come and express themselves. Progress was happening. People were coming out of their houses. Hope was beginning. But then a shooting happened too close to Dwayne's home. And he realized he needed to go get help to get the next step of cleaning up the war zone that was surrounding his place of peace. So he went to the police. Now, this was not an easy thing for him to do. The police had too often confused him with one of the people that lined his street selling drugs. But he found it in himself to go anyway, to say, can you help us? Can we do this together? In the midst of the tour, he stopped and he just said, by the way, if you haven't forgiven yet, you're missing something important about what it means to be alive. Forgiving is just an awesome thing. So together, the community and the police stood up and said no to the death grip power of drugs that had made their community uninhabitable. What I saw when I visited was a witness to that victory. The Peace Garden, this classroom for people who want to know that we live in God's world. This garden speaks to people every day. So do you hear it? Do you hear the roadmap to healing, beauty, hope, forgiveness, transformation? There's a theory that for every negative story we read, we need three positives to fill us back up to where we were. Three songs, three poems, three paintings deeply breathed into our souls. Or one that is three times as powerful as whatever bad is trying to draw us in and drag us down. Like the anthem this morning, leaning on the everlasting arms of God. Three times as powerful as any brokenness. One of the artists I met was from New Zealand, and he brought, I don't know how he brought all this art to show us. He also had photographs, and one of the stories he told was about how in New Zealand, an earthquake had destroyed 28 churches. But then he showed us these little booths. An artist had designed them, just big enough for two people to sit in, made of plywood, with sides and a roof, and a cutout place for a window that had colored plastic over it to make sure that the light could get in. These booths sprang up all around the city. They keep coming out of nowhere. You wake up in the morning and there's another one. They are places of worship where two or more are gathered to pray, to sing, to lay their hearts before the Lord. They stand as a witness to the truth that nothing, nothing can stop the people from worshiping God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.